All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And I want to preach from a familiar verse this morning. This verse is very familiar. We've all heard it before. I'm sure that if push came to shove, we'd all have it memorized if we were put to the test. But I want to begin reading in verse 5, and I'll just go ahead and tell you that verse 8 is the verse I'm going to preach from. But let's begin reading in verse 5 so you kind of get the context of what's going on here. In verse 5, the scriptures tell us, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That is a tremendous statement. And you'll notice it says, "For he hath said." So the Lord Jesus is the one who said this. And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you see that is in red. Or if it's not, it should be. And I don't use a red letter edition because in my mind, it would all have to be red letter. Personally, that's how I feel about it. But, you know, I'm a quack on that subject. Or so they tell me. All right, so he said, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, let me help some of you for just a moment here before I proceed. This is not the sermon. This is the preamble to the sermon. You see that little statement, "For he hath said, I will never," what's the next word? "Leave thee, nor..." All right, now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Those of you that struggle with eternal security, all right, you've been taught all your life that if you sin, you lose your salvation. Well, I got a question for you. Which sin? Huh? Which one? All right, is it murder? Is it lying? Is it stealing? Is it having a bad thought? Is it outwardly cursing or thinking a curse word in your head? Where do you lose it? Well, I submit to you, you can't lose it. All right? You can't lose it. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, I'm sitting here reading it. "For he hath said," who's he? Christ. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." How are you going to get lost from someone who said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee"? How do you get lost from that person? Now, who said this? The eternal Savior. The Lord Jesus is the one that said that. All right, period. That was free. Didn't cost you anything. All right, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So, verse 6. I got to get to the message. I don't want to spend all my time on that. I think you got the point, right? All right, look at verse 6. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." Man, I'm glad for that. "And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ," here's my text, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Amen. Now, if something stays the same, never changes, that something is referred to as immutable. It never changes. And that is one of the divine attributes of our Lord. Amen. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient. He knows everything. And he is immutable. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Never changes. That's an amazing thing. You know, we can't say that, can we? All you have to do is just simply turn on the light and look in the mirror tomorrow morning. And it'll be different tomorrow morning than it was today. All right? You know, you turn the light on and go, wow, what's that? When did that pop up? All right? And so the whole idea is we're not immutable. We are constantly changing. Our world is constantly changing. Our universe is constantly changing. But our Lord never changes. All right, let's pray. And then I want to speak to you on the immutable Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for the Word of God. Bless this to our hearts. Help us to see the Lord Jesus as he is this morning, the immutable, unchanging God. And Father, thank you for your word and what we can glean from it. I pray you'll help us to take the word literally this morning. There's so much that can be seen in these few little words. So bless it to our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The text that I have selected to preach from this morning is one that just causes me to stand in amazement when I consider all that this eighth verse is saying. I feel it is almost too great of a statement to preach on, that I sort of feel like maybe I ought to read it and then just go over here and sit down and let us all take the next 30 minutes and just think about what this verse says. I mean, it's like walking on holy ground. You almost feel like you ought to take your shoes off. An amazing statement. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. At 7:22 a.m., on April the 15th, 1865, Edwin M. Stanton, who was the Secretary of War for the United States government, looked down at the long form of a man in a bed and watched him take his final breath in this life. When he saw that, he reached over and pulled down the shades to block the bright sunlight that suddenly began to pour into the room. And he said, as he turned to look down at his friend who lay silent before him in death, "Now he belongs to the ages." Now, Mr. Stanton was speaking, of course, about President Abraham Lincoln. That statement has lived on through the ages and was perhaps the shortest biography ever spoken of Abraham Lincoln, and yet was one of the best statements that was ever spoken, especially about him. But the truth of the matter is, there is only one who has ever lived who truly belongs to all the ages. And that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He belongs to the ages simply because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have been privileged, Karen and I have been privileged, and many of you have gone with us over to the Holy Land to visit and to sightsee. We've had that privilege several times through the last 30 years or so. And while there, we stand on mountains and overlook valleys. We stand on the ruins of ancient cities. We walk the old streets of the city of Jerusalem. We stand on sites that have been dug up and excavated, and we know that they are some of the places where Abraham walked, where King David walked, where Solomon sat, places where men like Elijah stood and thundered his message. We have been to places where Isaac dwelt and where Jacob dwelt. And here's the thing about all these folks. They all lived and they all died. All right? Every one of them. They lived and they died. But there was one who watched each of these men in the past and watched every single step they took. There is one who saw every place upon which their feet walked. And I want you to know that every single time that we have been there, that same one has looked down upon us and watched every step that we have taken. You see, that's the Savior we serve. He is the Savior who is the same yesterday. That means back when Abraham walked the earth. He's the same yesterday. That means when Noah was building the ark. He's the same yesterday. That means when David sat on the throne in Jerusalem. He is the same yesterday as he is today. And praise the Lord, he will be the same tomorrow as he was yesterday and as he is today. Because he's immutable. He never changes. You see, the main theme of the whole book of Hebrews is just that. It is a book that explains to us the immutable, unchanging nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. The author takes all of these Old Testament heroes, all the heroes of the Old Testament, and he tells us their story. And then he lays their story down beside the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that while this was good, Jesus is better. I mean, this was awesome back here, but wait a minute. Jesus is better. He's better than anything that has ever been. And he takes all of these characters and all of the of these great Bible names and people and contrasts the changeless life of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. For instance, in chapter 1 in verse 12, he says, he takes the Lord Jesus and the changeless Christ, and he compares the changeless Christ with the changing universe. He says in verse 12 of chapter 1, "And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." You see, all of us, we're going to fail one of these days. We're not going to live on this planet forever. And to be honest with you, I'm glad. But I tell you where we are going to live. We're going to live forever with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Just as he is eternal, our souls are eternal. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our souls are going to be with him. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, thank God for our wonderful Savior. He contrasts the changeless Savior with the ever-changing system of the law that was given to Moses. And he says, you know, the law was good. It was a schoolmaster. It showed us that we were sinners and in need of a Savior. But as proper as that was and as good as that was, listen, it is not even close to how wonderful the Lord Jesus is. You see, the law could not take away your sin. It could not do it. It is not possible. Chapter 10 in Hebrews tells us, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Not possible, but Jesus can. He can, and he has if you've called upon him and trusted him as your Savior. He contrasts Christ with the ever-changing procession of high priests who went behind the veil one time a year on the Day of Atonement. You see, Jesus is our great high priest. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and there has not been another since he took a seat there. Oh, all the way through the Old Testament, you had this high priest and that high priest. But what happened? They all lived. They all died. When they died, they appointed another one. But our Savior, our great high priest, is better than the high priest system of the Old Testament. And so now we have a high priest who sits at the right hand of God the Father. And that high priest, get this now, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always going to be there as our high priest. Isn't that good to know? You know what? He never sleeps. He never slumbers. No, sir. And he's in complete control. He contrasts the Lord Jesus all the way through the book. Now, let me just say a couple of things about this better Christ, this better Savior that we have. First of all, I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus is immutable, unchanging in his person, in his character, nature. He is unchanging. He is immutable. Think about it, folks. All that Jesus is today, he was yesterday. And all that he was yesterday, he is today. And all that he will be tomorrow, he already is today. And all that he is today, praise the Lord, he will be tomorrow. What a Savior we serve. Now look at that phrase, the same yesterday. Can that be said of you or me? No. No. No way under the sun can that be said of any of us. Now, I wonder, how far back can you take this statement? The same yesterday. How far back can you take this statement? Can you go back 2,000 years? Certainly. Certainly, but don't stop there. Don't stop there, whatever you do. You see, he's the same yesterday, which means that that before the mountains were formed, or before the finger of God reached down and dug out the seas, even before the earth was ever even formed or the universe was spoken into existence, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the same as he is today. You know, it's just hard for us to wrap our little noodles around that, isn't it? We cannot fathom eternity. We blow fuses when we try. We sit around and think about that and we go, I just can't. Man, I mean, we get out there so far and all of a sudden everything just goes blank for us. We can't grasp eternal things. But our Savior is eternal. And even back before the foundation of the world, our Savior was the same then as He is today. And He's the same as He will be tomorrow. Same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to think about that. He was the same when Abraham rejoiced to see his day. He was the same when Moses wrote of Him. He was the same when Balaam, that old apostate prophet, but an elegant spokesman, stood on one of the peaks of Moab and cried out, I shall see Him, but not now. I shall behold Him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. In Numbers 34:17. He is the same when He was transfigured in glory on Mount Hermon, and when He was betrayed and denied by Judas, when He was spat upon by the soldiers, when He was crowned with thorns before they nailed Him to the cross, when He was hanging between two thieves to die, He was the same as He is today. And He was the same then as He was before the foundation of the world. Hard to fathom that, isn't it? He was the same when a dying Stephen lifted up his head and saw Him standing at the Father's right hand. Folks, how else would Stephen have known that Jesus was the one that stood if He was not the same? Amen. He had the power to save you when you cried out for a Savior. And today, He has the power to keep you. He had the power to save you, and now He has the power to keep you. Hey, He had the power to save you yesterday, and He has the power to keep you today. Oh, what a Savior. Number two, whichever one. Take your pick. Number two. Jesus is immutable as the giver of truth. Amen. You know, men have been asking questions for a long, long time since they've been on this planet. What can I know? What ought I to do? What can I hope for? I guess as long as man has been on the planet, we've wondered these things, haven't we? All three of these are answered by the unchanging truth that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke and has given us in this word. You see, none of us were there. The only way we know He has spoken this truth is because it is recorded by the Holy Spirit of God in the book. That's the only way we know. And that truth is just as unchanging. And that's what truth is, folks. Truth is truth. It doesn't change. And that's the amazing, you know, people change, don't they? I got preacher friends that I made eons ago that today would not consider me a friend. Not because I've changed. I haven't changed. I still believe the same way I've always believed. The Bible is the Word of God. Period. Jesus was virgin born. Period. Jesus is coming again. Period. Jesus is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. Period. I haven't changed on any of that. Don't plan to. You say, why not? Because truth never changes. But I've got, I have a couple of notebooks full of sermons that I take with me when I go somewhere to preach. Like this last week, I went down to Atlanta to preach in a sword conference with Dr. Smith down at Doug Anderson's church. And so I was sitting there. I always put down at the top of the paper the date where I am so that I won't ever preach that sermon should I be invited back. All right? And so some of them, at the top of the page, it's got like, you know, 40 places where I preached that sermon. Yeah. There's nothing new under the sun. Don't look at me like that. And beside, they're mine. So I can re-preach them if I want to. All right? And so here's the point. I mean, I was sitting on the front row Monday night looking down at, trying to figure out what I was going to preach on, leafing through the sermons. And I noticed at the top of the page, and I thought, well, did I preach this here? Let me look. No, I don't see it. No. Oh, there it is, right there. Yeah. Can't preach that one. Can't preach that one. And I looked at one sermon. The first time I preached it was in 1982. 1982. I had hair back then. And it was brown. Dark brown. Yes, praise the Lord for that. And isn't it neat that all these years later, I can still preach that sermon because I believe it? But you know, I got friends. I was noticing, oh, I hadn't preached there since, 87. Wow. Oh, I haven't preached there since 92. Wow. Why not? They've changed. They've changed. I had a preacher walk up to me down at the Sword Conference and say, we had the greatest revival in our church when I had you preach for me back all those years ago. And I said, man, that was a good meeting, wasn't it? He said, yeah. He said, I'd like to have you come back, but you wouldn't be comfortable with my music. Sad. Men change. I had a teacher in college, was one of my favorite teachers. And I signed up when, my sophomore year. I had him for a New Testament survey. Wonderful, wonderful teacher. And so when I came back my sophomore year, I signed up for 3 of his classes. I wanted him to teach. I wanted to get him as a teacher as often as I could. And then about halfway through the semester, went to class, and this guy walks in, and they said, well, you'll notice that so-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, is not here today. And he said, I'll be taking his place. Well, this guy was good. I mean, he was okay, but wasn't the guy I had. And I later found out that the reason that he wasn't there anymore is because he was teaching hyper-Calvinism in one of his other classes, and they found out about it and booted him out. Now, I never heard any of that. I never heard a drop of it when I was there. But you see, that's what happens. People change. But our Savior never changes. and truth never changes. That's what we need to realize, folks. Truth never changes. I mean, men change, preachers change, but the Lord Jesus never changes, and his truth never changes. Think about it. Which one of our Lord's teachings has become outdated or outmoded? Can you think of one? No. Why? Because the truth never changes. You see, what he taught in the Sermon on the Mount on the slopes of Galilee 2,000 years ago is still being taught in thousands and thousands of churches and pulpits across the land that still preach the Bible. What he taught on the streets of Capernaum is still being taught today in Bible-believing churches all across the world. Why? Truth never changes. As long as the hearts of men still beat, as long as life has burdens and woes, as long as people still face problems and difficulties, the words of our eternal, immutable Savior will speak to the hearts of men. Hey, he said it himself, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Never. Never. You see, as a teacher, the Lord Jesus has the keys to understanding. He has the keys. In the world today, looking for truth? I think the world's looking for truth. It's amazing to me, you can take the gospel and show somebody the gospel and you can just see the wheels turning. I don't know how many people have said to me through the years, how'd you put that together like that? How'd you put that together like that? Well, just read the Bible. That'd be a start. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. You remember when John was on the Isle of Patmos and he heard a voice behind him and he turned to see what all the commotion was about. And when he turned around, who did he see? Jesus. He saw Jesus. And John heard the Lord Jesus, the immutable Savior, say this, "Fear not. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and of hell." Folks, listen, if you have the keys, you have the control. Now, I've got a key to my office right here. But a lot of people have a key to my office, I found out. A lot of people. I don't know how my candy disappears so quickly. It's not me. I may look like I eat it all the time, but I don't. I don't know how those little Pellegrino waters disappear. It's amazing, isn't it? But when you have the keys, you have control. I didn't bring my wallet with me, but in my wallet is my car key. Just a little square thing. You don't have to carry all of this around. Thank the Lord. And you can't get in my car because you don't have the key. And the reason you don't have the key is because I have the key. And when you have the key, you have the authority. All right? And so today, a struggling society wants to know who has the keys. I mean, who can unlock the door for us? Well, Jesus said he had the keys. And that truth is eternal. It never changes. And then one more thing. The Lord Jesus is immutable as our Redeemer from sin. There is no other way. There is no other way. I mean, if there was, then God would have spared his son having to die on the cross. If there was another way. I tell you, folks, many of you have been, but I got a phone call Monday that just made my heart go down in my shoes. When Kathy called me and she said, Josh has been in an accident. It just went down. I said, is he all right? She said, we don't know. They're cutting him out of the car right now. Man, that's rough. I started calling immediately, get me a flight, get me a flight. But Hurricane Godzilla was going through Atlanta. No flights. Airport shut down. Sorry, we can't help you. We can rent you a car. When it's your son. I mean, I've gotten a phone call many a time. Hey, pray for so-and-so. Their son was in an accident. But when it's yours. And don't you thank God, if there was another way other than the death, burial, and resurrection of his only begotten son, don't you think if there was another way that God would have used it instead of the death of his own son? I do. And you know, if you were to go back and talk to David and ask him about redeeming grace, or if you were to go back to Moses and say, hey, Moses, tell me, who are you trusting to get you to heaven? If you were to go back and talk to Isaiah or Daniel or Ezekiel, ask any of them to give you their testimony, and every single one of them will lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Why? Because there is no other way. Amen. It's only through him. Do you have fears, anxieties, sorrows, loneliness, disappointments, infirmities, thorns in your flesh? Well, the immutable Christ wants you to trust him. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your eternal word. And I pray that you will bless this to our hearts this morning. I do not know the spiritual condition of every person in this room. But I'm sure in a crowd this size, there is somebody who is not 100% sure they're going to heaven. And Father, if that's the case, I pray that you'll speak to that heart this morning and help them to realize that there is only one, and that's the eternal, immutable Savior, the Lord Jesus. Only one who can save their soul and give them eternal life. And Father, may they come this morning and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Father, bless your word. Folks are dealing with all kinds of issues. Right here in this room this morning, there are folks with broken hearts. There are folks who are grieving. There are folks who are hurting. There are folks who are dealing with illness. Father, bless. Help us to look to you, the unchanging, immutable God of heaven. Father, bless. In Christ's name, amen.